If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've seen the bumper stickers. They are put up as signs outside of churches. It's often on the church sign this time of the year. Usually is. You've seen it online. People post this online all the time. Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, I wonder, is that the best way to talk about what Christmas is really about? If Christmas is just a birthday party for Jesus, then of course it makes a lot of sense to say that he's the reason for the season. But what's Jesus there for? What's his reason for being there? Is there a different reason? Joining us to answer that question is a career missionary for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to Puerto Rico and author of an article for the Lutheran Witness magazine, You Are the Reason, Pastor Matt Roush, a regular guest. Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Blessed Advent to you and all the staff at LPR.
Well, we see that on bumper stickers and online and every place else, Jesus is the reason for the season. Is that the best way to encapsulate what Christmas is really all about?
Well, I wouldn't say it's completely wrong to say Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, he's definitely the center actor in the Christmas narrative. But what is it exactly that Jesus is doing at Christmas? This is more than just celebrating his birthday. It's not just a big birthday party, but Christmas is the incarnation. It is Jesus, God, the second person of the Trinity, taking on human flesh. Jesus taking on our human flesh. Christmas is Jesus taking on our humanity and identifying with us. And so Christmas is this celebration of not just a really big birthday, but also, even more so, it's a celebration of God himself identifying with us by taking on our humanity, by feeling the things we feel, hurting the pains we hurt, knowing the sorrows that we know as humanity. He knows them himself in this Christmas miracle. That's the true miracle, that he takes on our humanity and lives in our place.
So you tell the story about kind of the Jesus birthday party you grew up with. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, sure. That was sort of a Christmas tradition in our house. And I grew up in a Lutheran home. I was raised in the Lutheran church. My grandfather was a Lutheran pastor. And so we took going to church on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day very seriously. And one of our traditions was on Christmas Eve pulling out a birthday cake and lighting the candles and singing happy birthday to Jesus. And it's a cute little memory, and it's something I look back on fondly, but it really doesn't capture the essence of what Christmas is and what the true celebration is. It's not that Jesus is, oh, this year he's 2014 years old, or when I was a kid, that was kind of how I thought of it. It's, oh, it's his birthday, so what do we do on birthdays? Well, we have a party. But more than that, it's as I said a moment ago, it's that humanity that he takes on in our place, that he does this for us to be our sacrifice. And so really, you can't celebrate Christmas without looking forward to Good Friday and ultimately Easter. Why is this child born into the world? Well, he's born to die for my sins, for your sins, for all the sins of mankind, and to rise triumphant on Easter morning.
Well, I mean, I kind of look at it this way. I wonder what you think. That is, if this baby isn't being born, the Christ child isn't being born to do what the Christ has been foretold to do. If this is just the birth, even as miraculous as it was in and of itself, if that's all it is, that's not good news for anybody.
It's a neat story. It's maybe kind of interesting. Oh, wow, a baby born of a virgin. Great story. But why is that good news for me? Why is the Christmas story the gospel? Well, it's the gospel because this baby is born to die. And in this world, where especially in the church, we shudder at the thought of violence done to children. I think that, I know as a parent, that is one of the things that absolutely gives me terror, the thought of something happening to my children. And yet, what is this baby born for? He is born to have terror done to him. He is born to bleed. He is born to suffer. He is born to die. And he does all of it for you and me, to bear the price for our sins, to be our ransom, to be our sacrifice, to give us peace with God, as the angel is saying, that there's peace on earth, and we have peace with God because of what this child has come to do for us.
So what you're saying here is that while Jesus is the reason for the season, takes us a certain degree, takes at least turns us away from all the other reasons that there may be for having this Christmas season, it does that. It doesn't get us to the cross necessarily.
Exactly. And really, that is what we do. That is what we do in the church. We turn our focus to the cross. We look to the cross because there we find the place where our sins find their payment, where they find their where satisfaction is made for them. And so the whole life of the church, whether it's at Christmas or Epiphany or on Pentecost or all throughout the time of the church, all of it is meant to draw us to that cross, to point to the place where satisfaction for sin is made, where payment for our guilt is made on our behalf. And Christmas is no different in that regard. The child is born, yes, a miraculous child, yes, the Holy Son of God, yes, born of a virgin, no doubt, but born to suffer and die for you and me to take our sin away.
Now, what would you say to someone who says, that kind of takes the merry out of Christmas, if you have to contemplate the child's death in order to understand the reason for the birth?
Well, welcome to the Christian faith, which is not all smiles and happiness and sunshine and rainbows, I would say. It's not. It is a faith. Our Christian faith is shaped by the cross. Jesus himself said in the Gospels that we would take up our own cross and follow him, that our whole life is shaped by the cross. And so yeah, it's not a warm, fuzzy message, but that's the church. The church is about the mess of sin, but the mess of sin finding its resolution, finding its payment, sin being removed and taken away. And maybe we do well to remember that at Christmas time, that it's not all warm and fuzziness. It's messy business, this sin of ours. It's a bloody mess, literally. And it requires the spilling of blood by God himself to undo the mess of sin that was created by Adam and in whose footsteps we've followed ever since. But that's exactly what happens when this child comes to be born for us. He comes to take on that bloody mess that we can't clean up ourselves, and yet he is willing to take it on our behalf and do the work that we are unable to do.
You say that we can find this and we ought to consider more carefully the message of the angels at Christ's birth, beginning with, unto you is born this day, etc. What do we find there?
I think the thing that jumps out at me, and there's so much within this song, the Glory in Excelsis, the song of the angels, the song we sing ourselves in the church during the divine service, this song where they sing, unto you is born this day. The idea that the first Christmas was the fulfilling of the hopes and yearnings that people had for centuries, that this child was born for you. That was what the angels sang. Zechariah in his song in Luke chapter 1 saying that, in the Benedictus saying of Jesus come to save Israel, he was there for the people. With John the Baptist had come as the forerunner of the Christ. God was bringing salvation to the people. And even the name Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. That message is all throughout the Christmas narrative in all of the Gospels, where we have the Christmas narrative in Matthew, in Luke, and even in John, this idea that this Christmas miracle is not just this neat story, but at the center of it is God doing this for us, for you and me, to free us from the bondage of sin, to restore us to what we were in creation when we were created in God's image, created in perfection. That's the promise we have through this child.
You also highlight the words peace on earth, which sometimes I think today just gets flattened down to the hope that there would be kind of a more peaceful year next year as the calendar turns over than we've had last year. Those hopes are always dashed, especially at a time, Pastor Roush, when here in America, violence is so much in evidence. What does peace on earth mean when spoken by the angels there at Christ's birth?
If I'm looking for peace on earth in a worldly sense, all I need to do is turn on my evening news and see that that's not the case. Here in Wisconsin, there's protests and threats of violence over another verdict, another lack of charges coming on a police officer in a shooting. You've known that violence down in your area, Todd, down in the St. Louis area. And it's not just in these kind of stories. All throughout the world, we see violence everywhere we turn. We are looking for earthly peace, not on this side of eternity, no. But the peace the angels sing about is the peace that we have here on earth with God. Because this child has come to be born for you and me, we are not God's enemy. We are not at odds with the creator of the universe any longer. Because this child is born for us, we have peace with the one who rules over all things. We do not live as people who fear, will God do violence to me? Will he destroy me? Absolutely not, because of this child born of Mary, the Son of God, who has come to take away our sin for you, for me.
You also direct us to John's telling of the Christmas story. He doesn't tell it as a narrative, but he tells it nonetheless. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What are your thoughts there?
Just the importance of the incarnation that John gives us in his gospel. That Jesus, when he took on humanity, he was the Word. He is the Word that takes on human flesh, that puts on skin, that dwells with you and with me. And so this Jesus, who's born of Mary, who locates himself in a human body, at the same time, he is found wherever the Word of God is. So the thing I love here in John's gospel is how Jesus is located in one place, in a virgin's womb, born of the virgin, living and breathing and walking and talking, and yet he is the Word. Wherever that Word is spoken, wherever that Word is proclaimed, he is there as well. And so when we hear the Word proclaimed to us on Christmas morning and Christmas Eve as we gather in our churches and hear the gospel of the forgiveness of sins proclaimed to us, Christ is there just as sure and as certain as he was lying in that manger on the first Christmas night. When we eat Christ's body and drink his blood, because that Word is there, Christ is there just as sure and certain as he was in that manger on the first Christmas as well.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have some more conversation with Pastor Matt Roush. We're talking about the 4U of Christmas. Pastor Roush is missionary for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to Puerto Rico, and he's author of an article for the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, You Are the Reason. We'll be right back.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. IssuesETC.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, December the 22nd, we're talking about the 4U of Christmas. Pastor Matt Roush is our guest missionary for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod to Puerto Rico. Before we go on, tell us a little bit about what you're up to in Puerto Rico, Pastor Roush.
My family and I, Todd, are in the middle of just finishing up our support building phase. We've had the chance for the last couple of months to visit churches all over the LCMS, to talk about the work we'll be doing down there, to build a network of support for this work. And now we're just making plans to look towards deployment, to heading down to the island of Puerto Rico. Once we get down there, there's an existing Lutheran congregation started by our synod back in the 1990s that we'll be working with and starting our work with, but then looking from there towards building and starting new congregations throughout Puerto Rico. And that is really the exciting thing about not just the work we'll be doing in Puerto Rico, but all throughout our missions of the LCMS, that it's very congregational focused. It's people gathering together to hear the proclamation of the gospel, to receive the sacrament, to be where the means of grace are found. So definitely exciting things happening.
Folks, you can find out more about Pastor Roush's mission work in Puerto Rico at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matt, let's talk a little bit about another 4U. It's kind of the 4U that Luther focuses on, but it has its connection, a very strong connection, to the 4U of Christmas. Luther says the words 4U and Christ's words of institution of the Lord's Supper are the words that faith hangs on to. These words 4U, he says, require all hearts to believe. What's the connection there?
Definitely. When we gather, and I made this connection before the break as well, that Christ locates himself not just in the manger, but also in bread and wine, in the word, in the waters of baptism. He locates himself where we can find him. But he's not just there for us to look at and wonder, well, what in the world do we do with it? No, he's there for you. This child who is born for you is the same child who offers himself for you in the sacrament, in his body, in his blood, given in bread, given in wine. So absolutely, the for you of Christmas is the very same for you as we find in the Lord's Supper. It is that Jesus has come for this purpose, to take away your sin, and that those words for you mean you need never doubt that your sins, are they really forgiven? Are they kind of sort of forgiven? Do I need to do a little bit more in order to get that forgiveness? No, for you. He's done it for you, And in those, and in the words, when he speaks them from the cross and says, "It is finished, your sin is finished, and your salvation is assured."
That helps deliver us from what I think is the common malady of Christians who don't make that connection during the Christmas season. It just Christmas just becomes nostalgia, kind of nostalgia written large. It's about remembering when Jesus was born, trying to go in your mind's eye through your various devotion, personal piety, whatever it be like, go like the shepherds to the manger and kneel there. Sounds like what you're saying is you don't got to go back to the manger to find Jesus.
Exactly, Todd. That's exactly it. We do treat Christmas as sort of this nostalgia, this going back in time, kind of picturing ourselves being there, standing with the shepherds or being with the wise men and bringing our gifts. No, we don't need to go back to the manger. God brings his manger to us. I believe it was Luther who said the Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid. Jesus locates himself in that word. So where that word is, we've already come into the presence of the incarnate Christ, the crucified Christ, the risen Christ. Wherever that word is found, we're already there. We're already in his presence. And what a wonderful assurance as we gather together on Christmas, as we're broken in different ways and hurting in different ways, as we are enduring the evil and the assaults of the world, knowing that right here, this child has made himself present for us in the Word, in the body and blood.
So does that mean that the Lord's Supper, far from being out of place in the church's celebration of Christ's birth, is in fact entirely appropriate?
It's actually, and I'm sure many of your listeners know this already, the term Christmas comes from the word Christ Mass. That the original celebration of the Feast of the Nativity centered around the Mass, the body and blood of Christ given in the sacrament of the altar. So it really is. That's the center of the Christmas celebration, is gathering around the body and blood of Christ, the same Christ who's laid in a manger, has been laid into bread and wine and given with his body and blood. Absolutely. The celebration of the sacrament is really the center of the Christmas celebration.
I feel kind of sorry for Christians who, for one reason or another, deny Christ's presence in the sacrament, because for them it can only be kind of a trip down memory lane. It can only be trying your hardest to reenact or reimagine the birth of Christ, because the Jesus they believe in, at least they believe, was in that manger, but now is very far from them.
I absolutely agree, and also I would add what comfort they deprive themselves of as well. What reassurance they miss out on knowing that Christ is right here in the midst of us. And the ironic thing, Todd, is that it's not as though we make some giant didactical leap in Scripture to make these claims. John said, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. Where that Word is, Jesus is found. The Scriptures themselves are clear. And so what a wonderful comfort we have, knowing that where that Word is, Jesus is there. We don't have to make a big leap to claim that it's Christ's body and blood present in the Lord's Supper. The words themselves tell us. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. The Word becomes flesh, the Word is Christ. What a wonderful assurance, and it is also at the same time sad that those who deny the real presence of Christ miss out on that comfort of knowing that Christ dwells among them, even now in this Christmas season.
Well-meaning Christian parents sometimes stress with their kids that the Christmas isn't about the gifts. What would your pastoral response be to that?
Well, my pastoral response or my paternal response to my kids, the giving of gifts at Christmas is a fine custom, as long as that it all directs our attention to the gift to us. The greatest gift that we can be given is Jesus Christ offering himself for us for the forgiveness of sins. And that is the gift that has been given, not just at Christmas, but all throughout the church year, the gift that we can always return to and know that it's always there for us. And I think that is the thing that we as parents ought to teach our children, is that there are earthly gifts we may receive, which are good. It might be that new cell phone or the new video game console or whatever it is the kids might want. But all these earthly things, they will not last. They will break. They will wear away. They will lose their luster. But the one gift that remains, that always is there for us and always is available and never fails, is the gift that Christ gives us. He comes into our for the forgiveness of our sins.
Finally, then, with only about 30 seconds here, Pastor Roush, the gift of Christmas, how would you summarize it for our listeners?
The gift of Christmas is that Jesus Christ took on human flesh for the very purpose of bearing our sin upon his very human body, suffering in our place and dying in our place to give peace with God to us through his suffering and death. And that is the greatest gift of Christmas, that we have this peace, the peace of which the angels sing and the peace of which we can now sing as well.
Pastor Matt Roush is missionary for the Lutheran Church of Missouri, Synod to Puerto Rico, and he's author of an article for the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, You Are the Reason. Matt, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Lord be with you.
By the way, you can find out more about Pastor Roush's missionary work there in Puerto Rico. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to spend the second hour of the program with Pastor Tom Baker on two subjects. One, well, it's actually two times that Jesus appears in the temple. One at 40 days old. That's called his presentation. That's where his parents bring him to fulfill all that is written in the law about what you do with the firstborn son and for Mary's purification. Then we leap ahead in Luke's gospel to 12 years old. Jesus is in the temple again, this time among the teachers. So we'll talk about both of those and teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of the radio program Law and Gospel in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.